shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Joe.
Welcome to Shooting the Defence, brought to you by the FMX Network, My Sportswear, and the Offside Trust. I'm your host, Stel, and my guest host is none other than Matthew Crist. Matthew, welcome back to the show, mate. How are you doing?
Good to speak to you again. Are you doing well?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Thank you for joining me. It's an absolute pleasure having you co-host.
Not a problem.
Now, standing at football grounds in England has been banned in the top flight after the Hillsborough disaster of 1989. But amid accusations that the atmosphere at games is now at an all-time low and that football is becoming out of touch with many fans, momentum has been building for a reintroduction of standing areas at Premier League grounds, namely in the form of rail seating. It's common in the Bundesliga, while Celtic recently brought in a safe standing area to sections of Celtic Park. And just last week, Shrewsbury Town applied to be the first English club to introduce rail seating shortly after West Brom made it absolutely clear they will be keen to pilot the scheme at the Hawthorns as pressure mounts on the government to scrap the law, banning the country's biggest teams from doing the same. Understandably, there's been some opposition on safety grounds, but many fans are known to be in favour of a return of safe standing, and Manchester United and Chelsea are among those clubs exploring their options. One man leading the campaign for rail seating to be licensed for use in England is John Darche of the Safe Standing Roadshow, who recently branded the government's position on the issue as absolutely bonkers. John joins us tonight to talk about safe standing, how it works, and just how likely we are to see it introduced to the Premier League grounds in the future. John, thank you ever so much for joining us. How are you doing this evening?
Very well, thank you. Good to be here.
Absolute pleasure, sir. Absolute pleasure. Matthew, would you like to kick off the questions?
Yeah, go ahead. Now, John, obviously, a few of us listening to this will know about safe standing or rail seating, but for those who don't know about it, would you be able to just describe what we're talking about here briefly?
Well, anybody who's seen pictures of what they've done in Celtic since last summer will have that image in their mind. We all know at the moment, if you go to a stadium in the Premier League and you're the sort of fan who likes to get excited and you stand behind the goal, what you're standing behind is a seat that comes halfway up your shins. And if you or the person behind you get overly excited when your team scores a last-minute winner, you can very easily find yourself falling forward over that seat into the row in front or even two or three rows in front. And you get cuts and bruises and scrapes. What we're talking about is simply a different sort of seat. A seat that rather than having a back that only comes halfway up your shins, one that incorporates a metal frame on the top of which is a rail at waist height. So whether you get excited, or no matter how excited you get, you can't fall forward, and the person behind you, if they get overly excited, they can't fall forward and push into you. So it's still seats, still an all-seater stadium, but instead of standing behind a seat not designed for standing behind, you're standing behind a seat that is designed for standing behind, and therefore it's a lot safer.
Great stuff. John, safe standing is a relatively new concept in the UK, so are there some sort of health and safety guidelines, like maybe like a checklist per se?
Well, yeah, it's new to the UK. It's not new per se. I mean, the rail seats were invented by the Germans about 17 or 18 years ago when UEFA said that going forward, all of their club competition games, so the Champions League, UEFA Cup at that time, now the Europa League, all those games had to be played in all-seater stadia, and because the German clubs primarily are controlled by their members, and their members are the fans, and the fans like to stand, they had to find a way of being able to configure their grounds in such a way that they could have lots of fans standing at the weekend for a Bundesliga match, and in the midweek, if they're playing in Europe, be able to convert their grounds quite quickly to an all-seater configuration. So that's where rail seating came from. So they're not new in the world, but yes, you're right, they are new in the UK, and there are all sorts of rules and regulations. And the most significant one for all our football fans based in England and Wales is the Football Spectators Act of November 1989. which gives the Secretary of State certain powers, if he or she so wishes, to impose certain restrictions on specified grounds vis-a-vis the provision of seats or the provision of standing accommodation. And as we know, the upshot of that has been that since 1994, all the clubs in the top two divisions have had to provide on the quotas only seated accommodation at their grounds. And as time has gone by, as other clubs have completed three seasons at Tier 1 or Tier 2 level, they've had to provide only seated accommodation thereafter as well, even if they get relegated. So you've got Stockport County playing currently in, I think, Tier 8, and Edgeley Park is all-seater because they committed the heinous crime 10, 15 years ago of playing at Tier 2 level for 3 years and therefore had to go all-seater. So that's the primary rule. The other rules and regulations are in a document called the Green Guide, which is the Bible of how to build and maintain and manage a sports stadium safely. It's produced by a body called the Sports Ground Safety Authority, which is the government quango directly reporting to DCMS. And that has all the rules and regulations that you can imagine about every aspect of a football stadium. You know, how to make it safe, how to make terracing safe, how to make conventional seating safe. What it doesn't have at the minute is any guidance on how to operate a rail seating area safely, though there is a new version of the guide being written due out next year, and my understanding is that version of the guide will have a section on how to configure and manage and operate a rail seating section of the ground safely.
Wow,
so yeah, lots of rules and regs around.
Fantastic, brilliant.
Sure, and John, obviously anyone listening to you, anyone that knows about you will know you've been an advocate for safe standing for many years now. Can you just tell us why it is that you're so passionate about this and why you're so keen to see a return to standing sections in English and Welsh football clubs?
Yeah, it's a very long history because I'm not a youngster anymore these days. I first went to my first football game in 1968-69. Bristol City fan, went to Ashton Gate. I would have been about 10 or 11. My dad took me, as is often the case for football fans. It's a father, your uncle, older brother, whatever it might be. And we stood on the open terrace, and you know, I was quite short at the time, being a 10-year-old, so he'd made a little wooden stool for me and one for my brother, and we carved a little wooden stool in and went to the back of the terrace and put our arms over the fence at the back to hold ourselves steady so we could stand on our little wooden stools and look over the heads of the big men in front and watch the game. And I enjoyed that. A few years later, he bought tickets in new grandstand, new Dolman stand at Ashton Gate, and we sat in that for 3 or 4 years. And then in my teens, sort of 14, 15, 16, 17, I started going in the covered end, the east end, the terrace with my schoolmates, and thoroughly enjoyed myself. Roll the clock forward 20-odd years after that, and I'm going to Ashton Gate with my nephew, or in some cases two nephews, but one particular nephew used to come to nearly every game with me. And we're sitting down, because by then the ground is all-seater. And you know, and when he was 13, 14, I probably quite liked the sort of the going with his uncle and sitting down. But I thought, what a shame when he and his brother got to sort of 16, 17, 18, they couldn't enjoy that same rite of passage that I did with my schoolmates in a more of a community feel and a bit of independence away from your mum, dad, your uncle, whatever it might be, and didn't have the chance to enjoy that except on the odd occasion when we played away at grounds that had terracing where he and my various other nephews and nieces thoroughly enjoyed standing up. So that's one of the reasons that I felt that, you know, it's just wrong that people of the modern era cannot enjoy football during that period in their life in the same way that I was able to. The other thing is, I hate things that are illogical. And the more I've looked in over the years to the ban on standing and the reasons behind it and the thinking behind it, it's just totally, totally, totally bonkers. You know, how can it be that at Ashton Gate I'm not allowed to stand up when I'm watching football, but in the very same stadium, in the very same seat, if I want to stand up throughout a rugby game, I can? How can it be that in Bristol I can't stand up watching football at Ashton Gate, but 5 miles across town at Memorial Ground, if I wanted to go there for whatever reason to watch the Rovers, I could do so standing up. How can it be that if there's a concert at Old Trafford, everyone can stand and drink, but if they go there to watch football, they can't. If they go there to watch rugby, they can stand. It's just absolutely, completely bonkers. It's even more bonkers now that we're having to struggle to get rail seats in, because if the legislation is there to make us safe, then everybody involved in ground safety has to realise what we've got currently is not a terribly safe situation. An unintended consequence of all-seater stadia has been that, what I was describing earlier, people standing behind seats with low back, standing in areas not designed for the purpose. And whilst back in 1990, I could accept that Lord Justice Taylor only had two options. Does he allow clubs to continue to let spectators go into crumbling, poorly maintained terraces, or does he say, no, they've got to go into grandstands? Fair enough. He didn't have the third option at that point. Rail seats didn't exist. And I bet my bottom dollar, if rail seats had existed in 1990, Lord Justice Taylor would have said, right, people that want to sit down in normal seats. People who want to stand have to stand behind rail seats. And it's crazy that now we've got this new technology. We've got a government. We've got safety experts. Not so much the safety experts, really. We've got a government. We've got politicians denying clubs the opportunity to make their ground safer. So I hate things that are illogical. And because I believe that ultimately logic always wins, I keep going at it, even though it's been many, many years. But we are getting there now, and we will get there in the end.
Fair enough. No, I mean, you hark back to the old days there. I mean, do you think there's still a misconception when it comes to the return of standing areas at football? As people point back to the so-called dark days of overcrowded terraces and poor facilities?
Well, I think Jeff Powell still thinks that, but I think he's probably the only person in the world who does. It was a problem 6-7 years ago, I think, with our campaign. I mean, safe standing, for a start. Safe standing is a bad name. And if you were starting a campaign from scratch, you wouldn't call it safe standing, because the name implies that some forms of standing are unsafe. And they're not. You know, a well-maintained, well-managed terrace is perfectly safe. If they weren't, they wouldn't be allowed in League One and League Two and at rugby. So that's an unfortunate name, but it grew out of a campaign that Man City fans started when they were about to leave Main Road and go to Eastlands. If you remember, you know, what is now called the Etihad, that area is Eastlands, and the stadium was being referred to as Eastlands in that period. And they launched a campaign called Standing Areas for Eastlands, and the acronym of that was SAFE, and that morphed into a national campaign. So that's why we've got, you know, that campaign with that name. And in an ideal world, you know, we wouldn't use that campaign, that name. But the weakness, if you like, or the problem the campaign had 6, 7, 8 years ago was that fans were saying we won't stay standing, and the media and politicians and even club officials were hearing we want great big sprawling terraces. And one of the things that I focused on when I got heavily involved in the campaign was clarifying the message. You know, my background, I spent 20 years in commercial radio selling advertising and running advertising sales teams. You know, and the message we always told our sales execs to say to their clients about their advertising, use the KISS principle. Keep the message simple. Keep it simple, stupid. And it was important for our campaign that we had one simple message, and that now sort of safe standing has become, you know, a synonym for rail seating and vice versa. And so now, you know, for everybody apart from Jeff Powell, when we say we want safe standing, the world hears we want rail seating. And because with the roadshow, and because we've got lots and lots of images and videos out there, you know, people now understand what rail seating is. And whereas 4 or 5 years ago, if a national newspaper ran a story about fans want safe standing back, they'd have illustrated it with a photograph, a black and white photograph of the Kop or the Stretford End or Hillsborough. They'll now illustrate it with a colour photograph of rail seats. And that's come on in leaps and bounds, in particular since Celtic's installation last summer, because of course now they've got, you know, some real photographs, real video of an installation on these aisles. So that's been a big help. But yeah, there was an image problem. I think it's by and large gone now.
Okay. So as for the possible introduction of rail seating, there seems to be a lot of confusion about whether a change in the law is required as to whether clubs can install rail seating. Can you just clear this up for us?
Clear it up? No, I can throw a little bit of light onto it. I think I said earlier, it's a question really of whether you need to change primary legislation or just the way in which the law is used, is applied. The Act, the relevant Act, the Football Spectators Act of November 1990, which was enacted 3 months before Taylor's report was published, and it was enacted and described in the Queen's speech that November as an act to counter hooliganism. So you've got to admit, it was nothing to do whether us poor darlings might fall over and hurt ourselves if we stood up. It was because Thatcher and her government saw getting rid of terraces as a very blunt instrument to counter hooliganism, in the same way as that act was supposed to bring in the national ID card scheme. So that's what the act was for in the first place, to counter hooliganism. In that act, it gives the Secretary of State the power, if he or she so wishes, to impose certain restrictions on certain football clubs vis-a-vis standing. Because it doesn't say in the act, grounds X, Y, and Z must be or theta, there is no need to change the act. All that has to happen is that the Secretary of State needs to change the way in which they use the powers granted to them by the Act. So, at the moment, when a club finishes 3 years in the Championship, with terracing. So say Brentford weren't building a new ground right now. In May, the Secretary of State would have said, okay, Brentford, you've had 3 years in the Championship with terraces. You've now got to go all-seater. And she fills in some sort of order in Westminster and writes a seating order for their ground. They've got to go all-seater. She could simply choose not to make that order out. Or, for existing grounds, if for instance, as a result of the Premier League survey letter a couple of weeks ago, well, we know, for instance, West Brom have said they'd like to be a pilot site. If in a few weeks' time that was taken a bit further and there was a chance for West Brom to actually do it, all Karen Bradley, the Secretary of State, has got to do is cross the Hawthorns off that list. She has the power to do that, given to her by the Act. There's no need to change the Act itself, because the Act does not say the Hawthorns has got to be all seater. The Act says that Karen Bradley can decide that. Does that make sense?
And you mentioned that the survey there, and for anyone that doesn't know, all 20 Premier League clubs were recently canvassed by the Premier League on their views about rail seating. Do we know yet, or do we have any feedback yet from the research, or know what most clubs feel about safe standing?
I think publicly the only one who has said how they responded was West Brom. I've had conversations privately with one or two others, so I can't, because they were private conversations, I can't say who, but they had written back in a positive vein as well. I was at the Football Supporters Federation and Supporters Direct Summit over the weekend, and I believe there was an agreement between the Premier League Supporters Trusts that they would now ask their respective clubs to make it known publicly how they have responded. So we may see one or two other Premier League clubs coming out in the next few days and weeks saying, yes, we wrote back to the Premier League and we said this, that and the other. But I am confident that a significant majority will have written back saying, yes, we'd like to pursue this. I mean, we don't know exactly what they were asked. I mean, the very fact that West Brom have said, they put their hand up and said they'd be happy to be a pilot site, presumably they were all asked that, would you know, if we get to a certain stage, would you like to offer your ground as a pilot site? So that's one of the questions. What else exactly they were asked, we don't know. But I presume it was generally asking their views on safe standing and rail seating and how they would like the executive team to take it forward, because we know they've had a couple of discussions at their regular meetings starting last November. So it was very welcome to hear that this letter had gone out. This shows that there's progress there. And, the Premier League is such a powerful beast. You have to think that if we get to the stage where a vast majority of clubs are saying they want it, and the Premier League gets what it wants, doesn't it? Seems to me it does.
Yeah. But, it's obviously still a bit of a grey area with Premier League clubs. A lot of EFL clubs have been very vocal about their support for introducing male seating. Is there any reason why? Is it purely because they can and Premier League clubs can't? Is it as simple as that?
Well, the majority of EFL clubs can't. 29 could now, but the rest can't because over time they've gone all through to, and as I said, if you get relegated out of the top two tiers, that doesn't mean you can revert to standing. So you've got a large number of clubs in Leagues 1 and 2 who have got all through to stadia. Oh, I think that they were asked by their executive 4 years ago now, similar questions, I guess, to what the Premier League have asked their clubs. Did they want the EFL executive to pursue the concept of safe standing with government? Did they want the EFL executive to speak to the Sports Ground Safety Authority to try to get rail seating licensed for use in English grounds? And on the face of it, things seem to be moving quite slowly there, but the significant move they made was in March, where between the EFL and the Sports Ground Safety Authority, they agreed this process that the Sports Ground Safety Authority have now put in place, whereby EFL clubs not governed by the all-season legislation can apply, if they wish, for consent to install rail seating for use as standing accommodation. And whilst I think initially that was probably seen as a symbolic but very welcome gesture, which covered only 21 clubs who have got terraces still, but who would have no desire to put in rail seating, no need to, they've already got very good standing accommodation. It also actually applies to 8 other clubs who over the years have, for one reason or another, gone all-seater, although they've not been required to do so by law. So those 8 clubs, just like the 21 with terraces, are not governed by the all-seater legislation and therefore can make use of that process to apply for consent to put in rail seating for use as standing accommodation. And that's what Shrewsbury Town have now done.
And you said at the beginning of our chat, you mentioned that Celtic have led the way, really. They're obviously not governed in the same way as clubs in England and Wales, and they've brought in a standing area in the corner of their ground at Parkhead there. From what you've seen, has the trial been a complete success?
Complete success. A thing of beauty it is. It's paradise within paradise. 2,975 lovely green rail seats. The fans love it. The stewards love it. The police love it. Everybody loves it. I mean, one of the great things that Celtic did in the sort of 12 months running up to that going live, that being installed, they talked very, very closely to their fans who were going to be standing in that area and discussed with them the do's and don'ts of behaviour. And because they got the fans' buy-in, the fans there see it as something special and therefore have behaved accordingly. They have great fun. You've seen videos, I'm sure, of them crouching down behind the rails and then jumping up to sing their songs. They've had a very energetic season, helped by winning virtually every game on the pitch. Or you might see the other way around. Maybe the atmosphere that they've helped create has helped the players win the games. But certainly the people in that area have thoroughly enjoyed themselves. No one's been hurt. No one's fallen over, because you can't when you're standing with a rail in front of you and a rail behind you. And one of the great things about that area as well is, yes, it's got a significant ultras group in the Green Brigade down the front, but in the back of that sort of cheese-shaped wedge, it's mums, dads, kids, elderly fans, younger fans. It's a real mixture. Boys and girls, men and women, and the fans are standing in their appropriate place. They've all got a different colour season ticket card to everybody else in the stadium, so the stewards can see as they go in you know, does an extra check that they are entitled to be in that area. And then when I went up there for the opening game against Wolfsburg in the summer, I was very impressed to see that they were all, as they walked in, looking at their ticket, checking what number they were, what row number they were, and what seat number they were, and going and standing in that place. And I've heard fans say ever since, it is just like an old terrace, but you always had your favourite spot and you always stood there. Just now, they've got the additional thing of having a row number and a seat number, and they all stand in the same place every game. But yeah, a huge success. And I'm hoping, you know, we know, I think, we've seen in the press and the media that lots of English clubs have been up and down the look. I'm sure that the Department of Culture, Media and Sport have been up there, and I'm sure they've had reports back about, you know, how it's gone. And I hope that will now lead to the promised reappraisal by the government of their position, because you may recall back in December 2015, they published a document in which they said, whilst they were not persuaded of the merits of safe standing at the moment, once the Hillsborough inquest were over and once they'd been able to draw on experience of how things had gone at Celtic, they would reappraise the situation. Well, we all know that the inquest finished last May, and they've had a full season of experience to draw on now at Celtic. So hopefully, maybe, you know, today they were doing it. Maybe tomorrow they're doing it. I would hope that the civil servants and the relevant MPs involved in DCMS, you know, are sitting down now and doing that reappraisal.
Yeah, and do we know if it's obviously been a huge success? I think anyone that's seen the videos or read about it or heard people's experience of this project in at Celtic has been a huge success, and it was labelled as a pilot. Do we know if they've got plans to extend that section? Because it's just a corner section of a couple of thousand places, I think, at the minute. I mean, could it spread around?
Yeah,
so could it increase?
I think it will, in due course. I saw an interview that stadium business people did with Robin Buchanan, the stadium general manager, last week, and they asked him that, and he talked about possibly doing another corner and possibly doing the away section or part of the away section as well, which I think is a great thing. And I think, you know, in the next 5-10 years, I would love to see, you know, every ground in the UK that wants to do it offering a rail sitting area for their home fans and for the away fans. Because one of the other unintended consequences of All-Seater Stadia is that it has become almost impossible for anybody to go and follow their team away from home, particularly in the Premier League, if you've got dodgy knees, if you're short in stature, or if you simply don't like standing. Because, you know, we all know that virtually all Liverpool fans, all Newcastle fans, all West Ham fans, all Man United fans, you know, virtually every fan of every big Premier League club, they all stand away from home. So if you don't want to stand or can't stand, you can't go away from home. And that's not fair. If every away section, you know, had a split, as they used to do 30 years ago, the host club were able to offer the visiting fans an option, dear visiting fan, would you like to go in the standing area or would you like a ticket for the seated area? And then all those that want to go and stand can go and stand in perfect safety and make lots of noise, and all those that can't stand or prefer to sit can go and sit down. And so once again, those people who are currently being excluded from watching their team away from home will be able to do so once again.
Yeah, and obviously that's Scotland. Coming back to England, and you touched on this earlier, last week it was announced that Shrewsbury Town were looking to introduce rail seating in their stadium. The first English club, I believe, to go for this. How key is that news to the campaign as a whole? I mean, do you think it's a case of if one club is given permission and it all goes well, do you think it'd almost be like a domino effect? You'd see suddenly clubs queuing up to say, well, if it works for them, can we have a go?
I think it's a significant milestone. I was a bit worried last week. I think the news was going to break on the Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock, and on the Monday night, I sent out a sort of cryptic tweet saying something like a big announcement tomorrow about something that hasn't happened in the lifetime of 27.5 million residents in the UK. And I got such a reaction, I thought, oh crikey, have I overhyped it? And when they find out on Tuesday morning that it's, in inverted commas, only Shrewsbury Town and it's only 500 seats, are they going to accuse me of over-egging it? But I was delighted that the reaction on Tuesday morning was totally positive, and people realise how significant it is that for the first time ever, a club with an all-seater ground in England has said, we want to put rail seats in. And in fact, not only do we want to, we've applied to do so, and there is a process that lets us do it. And therefore, we're very hopeful that we will have rail seats in a matter of months, certainly during the course of this coming season. So in terms of a symbolic milestone to pass, it's very big. In terms of the impact it will have on how soon other clubs are able to do likewise, I actually think, as I mentioned earlier, the movement that we now have at the Premier League will have a bigger impact on that. Because, you know, with all due respect to Shrewsbury Town, it's great they're doing it, fantastic they're doing it. If the Premier League turn around tomorrow and go and knock on the sports minister's door and say, hello, Ms. Crouch, Mr. Scudamore here, my club's won't so standing, let's talk about it, that's going to have a lot more impact, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. Now, you mentioned the Green Brigade earlier with Celtic, and I'm actually speaking to you from Liverpool this evening. I know for a fact that groups like Spirit of Shankly are heavily involved, talking amongst themselves. There's a lot of dialogue between themselves and the club when it comes to safe standing. Just how important are fan groups when it comes to safe standing being introduced, and the pressure that they can put on their own clubs and the momentum that they can create behind this?
They've been very instrumental in what I've done over the years with the Roadshow. I mean, most of my visits to grounds have been coordinated on the local level by the fans groups, and therefore then the fans groups, by doing that, have been able to introduce me to their club executives, and they've then got the idea, they've seen rail seats, and it was very much that process that got us to the situation with the EFL 4 years ago, that they asked their clubs and they got that mandate. And the same has happened, perhaps to a lesser extent, with the EPL clubs, with the Premier League clubs. But now, yeah, the situation in Liverpool is one that I have watched very closely and is very interesting. And I think Spirit of Shankly have played the situation very well. They've taken their time. You know, they deliberately took a neutral stance on safe standing for many years out of deference to the families. But once the inquests were over, they were getting asked an awful lot by their members, come on, what is our view? What is our view? And people were seeing what happened to Celtic and saying, you know, aren't we for this? Surely we're for this. What's our view? And so they asked their members at their AGM last July, not are we for it or are we against it, but should we formally adopt a position? And the membership said overwhelming, I think 93%, yes, they should adopt a position, and that they would then, the executive of the Spirit of Shankly said, right, we'll now go out for the next 12 months and consult with all stakeholders, and towards the end of that period, we'll put a vote to you, the members, as to what our position should be. And I think they're now just about at the stage where they will be putting that vote to the members, and by the end of the summer, I think we'll have a clear picture of where the membership of the Spirit of Shankly are on that issue, and if, as I expect, it's very much in favour, that also will be quite a significant milestone.
Yeah, I think just on that, I think I read this evening they're having a meeting on July the 22nd, I believe, so we'll obviously hear more after that. Obviously politics plays a big part in this, as it does in everything, and I suppose there's a good chance there could be another election quite soon. Do we know where each of the major political parties stand when it comes to rail seating? Have they made this a big part of manifestos, or have they preferred not to talk about it?
Green is a major party. I'm being asked about that. There are two, as far as I know, there are two political parties for whom being in support of safe standing is formal policy, and that is Lib Dems and the Greens. The Tories and Labour, as we stand here this evening, are formally in favour of maintaining the status quo. I find it bizarre that the Labour Party in particular would want to maintain a ban on standing brought in by a Thatcherite government who saw football supporters as very similar to miners, as another enemy within. And that given that the Labour Party is the party that, you know, is supposed to back the working class man, I would have thought they would very much want to do away with that, that ban. And I'm hopeful that in the coming weeks they may well change their view on that. And the Tory Party, you know, is a very different beast to what it was, you know, in Thatcher's era. And they also, I would hope, you know, would look at what happened then and the false premise on which the standing ban was brought in, and look at the situation now. You know, you just forget the history, just look at the status quo. Watch Match of the Day any Saturday night, and you know, any Conservative politician has to see there are thousands and thousands of fans standing in an area of a stadium that is not designed for standing, and they could hurt themselves. And if you're a Tory politician listening to this, and you think football fans should be accommodated in the safest possible way, then you must be in favour of rail seats. So I hope, you know, that ultimately, as I said, logic will prevail, and that the politicians of whatever hue will recognise that, you know, we have an opportunity which wasn't available to Lord Taylor and the government back in 1990, but we have an opportunity now to make our very safe stadia even safer still. Why wouldn't they take it?
John, I guess things are made even more difficult when you've got people like Jeff Powell who write articles saying, you know, there's no such thing as safe standing, and he throws in some passive-aggressive statements like, you know, their precious innovations sooner or later will result in crushing from sideways surging along these rows. I mean, how do you feel when you hear or read these comments?
Dinosaur. And what I noticed was that article appeared on the Mail Online website. It didn't get into print, so that tells you yourself what his editors think of that article.
Fair enough.
You know, and he is virtually the only voice shouting in an empty room, as far as the media go. You know, the virtually all of the sports journalists and general journalists now understand it and get it and can see the benefits. You know, he's one man who has failed to move with the times and failed to realise what we're talking about, and ought to go to Celtic and stand in that area for a game, see what it's like.
And just from the club's point of view, John, I mean, we obviously speak about things from a spectator's point of view, but from a club's point of view, I just wonder if you could clear up a couple of things. I mean, people talk about bringing in safe standing as a way of getting more people into the ground or increasing capacity. Is that true? I mean, if it's a seat that's basically a place where you can stand, does that allow for more people to get into the stadium, or does it equal one seat equals one person, so to speak?
I'll have to give you the political answer to that, or politician's answer to that. There is no answer yet, because the rules and regulations for England and Wales have not been written yet. However, I can tell you that in Germany, I mean, they're used all around the continent and indeed around the world now, but the country that has the most grounds that use rail seats is Germany. In Germany, at quite a few of the grounds, you have double the capacity when it's being used for standing compared to when it's being used for seats. However, the depth of each seating row in most German stadia is quite a bit bigger, deeper than they are in Britain, and the width of the seats are wider than they are in Britain. So the amount of space along a row of rail seats on the back of the yellow wall at Dortmund or at Hanover or at Wolfsburg is quite a lot more than it would be along a row of rail seats retrofitted into one of our stadia, where, as I say, the seating rows are narrower and the seats themselves are narrower. So even if the rules and regulations in this country say, yes, you can have a slight increased capacity, in a retrofit situation, it certainly won't be 2-1. But in a new build, if the rules and regs say it's allowed, and they build those rows as generously proportioned as they are in Germany, then you might get to 2-1. And we know it's on the record that Tottenham are building the new White Hart Lane with provision in part of the ground for rail seating, and that includes provision for an increase in capacity, if it's allowed by the rules and regulations.
Yeah, because you've got clip-on seats and you've also got fold-away seats as well, don't you?
Well, yeah, that's two other options that some grounds use in Germany. They will never, in my view, be viable in this country, partly because you have to think about the manpower, the labour, the cost of converting each time. You know, they are acceptable to German clubs because the German clubs are members' clubs. Mm. They don't exist to make a profit. They exist to keep the members happy. So they accept that very labour-intensive option. In this country, you know, all our clubs are limited companies. Their primary objective is the bottom line, and they're gonna not go for something that is far more costly in terms of the conversion between a domestic game and the European game than the rail seats are. There's also, I've heard some doubts expressed by safety experts about whether actually the barriers that are used in those areas that you've described in Germany, some of the ones where they have the clip-on seats and the fold-under ones, whether the barriers are actually robust enough to pass our safety requirements. So for various reasons, but more than anything, because it's just so expensive in manpower, labour terms, to do the conversion, I don't see those types of safe standing ever coming into the UK. I think, you know, it's going to be in the all-seater stadia, it's going to be rail seats, and at the grounds that have still got terracing. I could envision a situation, who knows what the rules might say going forward, I could envision a situation where, you know, in the top two divisions, it's rail seats, but once you get relegated to the third tier, if you want to go back to terraces, you can. I could imagine that happening, it's possible, but, you know, any club owner, assuming rail seating is allowed, any club owner who has aspirations to play in Europe within the lifetime of his stadium or new stadium development isn't going to build terrace.
Right.
Because you can't use it in Europe. Right. So if you want to put in standing, you're going to put in rail seats.
Okay. And just to clear this up, as it stands, if tonight the law suddenly changed or this or what have you, it'd be quite possible then for rail seats to be slotted straight into, say, the Kop at Anfield or what used to be the Stretford End at United. These grounds don't need to be adapted to have rail seats majorly.
That was the key word. Yes, majorly. Majorly, no. As long as you're looking at one to one, it should be dead easy. There's a video online of how it was done at Celtic, that the club put together. You know, it virtually was simply unbolt the old seats, take them out, bring the new seats in, bolt them in place. You know, there's no major structural work that you have to do you know, when going one to one in a retrofit. So it should. You have to check that they get the sight lines right and everything. But in most cases, it should be fairly straightforward.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier on your days at Aston Gate, the ground I've been to several times myself, and the terraces were traditionally a place where friends would congregate together and fathers took their children to see their favourite team, what have you. How important do you think it is that if safe standing was introduced into the Premier League, that these areas are made affordable and accessible and don't become some kind of golden circle of English football? Like if you go to a concert now, you have to probably pay twice as much to be in at the front, and there's probably because of the demand, clubs may put prices up for safe standing rather than actually putting them down, which is what a lot of people think would happen.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can dictate, anybody can dictate what prices clubs should charge. You know, the leagues are always very, very reluctant to do that. But there are some very enlightened clubs out there who recognise that football's become too expensive and see rail seating as an opportunity to introduce lower prices because they see that they've only got one product to sell, a seat. If they've got someone prepared to pay £80 for a seat in one part of the ground, they can't sell the same product somewhere else for £20. But if they've got a product that they can offer that the person paying £80 for a seat has no interest in whatsoever, then they can offer that at a lower price. And that is a way to bring through the next generation of fans. So there are clubs out there who see things in that enlightened manner. Whether they all will remains to be seen. And I fear that there's no way the government or the leagues can make them do it.
No, I think you're right. I think it's very much up to the clubs themselves. But I just have this view that a standing space on the cop or on the Stretford end, what used to be, could be seen as a huge golden ticket that obviously people are going to want to pay a lot for, but that's market forces, isn't it? That's nothing to do with standing itself. So just to wrap things up from my point here, in your opinion, how likely is it that we'll see, say, standing in the Premier League in the next 5-10 years or so?
Very. I mean, one of the reasons with the First Return crowdfunding project that we're aiming to put the seats in during the course of this season is because we want them and they want to be first. And I think if they leave it to next August, they wouldn't be the only ones. I think there'll certainly be one or two other clubs in the EFL that might do it by next August. I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility. We might even have a pilot, a trial, call it what you will, at a higher level by next August.
Interesting.
Great stuff. Well, John, thank you ever so much for your time and providing us with your views. It's been a remarkable experience, and thanks for educating us further. Now, before I let you leave, can you tell us a bit about Safe Standing Roadshow?
It's a little stand of four rail seats that you can break down and put in the back of a white van. And when clubs or more often, as I said, fans groups have wanted me to go and demonstrate it, I go around to my mates, we get it out of his garage, put it in the back of the white van, and off I go and set it up at the club and do my spiel and show them what's what. I must say, in the last 12 months, I've not been out very often for the simple reason that the message has now got across. You know, whereas when I started doing it in 2011, so 6 years ago, the first trip was to Molineux, the second trip was Celtic Park. You know, in those days, lots of fans and lots of club executives and lots of MPs didn't know what rail seats were. Now the vast majority do, so there's less and less need for me to go out.
Great stuff. Well, John, again, thank you ever so much for your time, sir. Would you like to give our listeners your Twitter handles? They can get in contact with you. Do they have any questions?
It's at SafeStandingRS.
Great. Thank you ever so much. Matt, would you like to give us your Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's at Matthew J. Christ.
Thanks, Matthew. Now, guys, if you haven't already done so, please follow us on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We have a Facebook like page and a Facebook group page. Feel free to visit both of them and give us some input. Now, we have quite a few partner brands, so I'd just like to give them a quick mention. We have the FNX Network, My Sportswear, Sofa Sports News, another fantastic podcast run by Harry and the guys, Inspire Me Creations, Nick Tanner Events, Lucky Seven Management, True Start Coffee, Bite Back Publishing, DCF Sports Legal, and as I said at the top of the show, the Offside Trust. Now, as you may or may not know, the Offside Trust is hosting a celebrity football match on Sunday the 20th of August at 12 o'clock at Curzon Ashton FC's ground in Ashton Underline, up north in Manchester. So guys, visit the website fatsoma.com/celebrity-football. Now, there are many tickets on sale. General admission for adults are £12. For children under 16, £6. If you want a family ticket, which is two adults, two children, that's £25. And there's also hospitality tickets for £125. Now, as I said before, kickoff is at 2 p.m. and I'm pretty sure the guys will be very, very happy to see you all there. Until next time, take care.